Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pep Talks. I'm Eddie Pepitone, and I am in the studio solo today. How are you? I have a new haircut. I have a very good attitude today. Nobody is my guest. We may have Steve Lally call in from the road. He's going to try to call in a little bit here. He said that there's a storm where he is. I think he's in Florida or the South, and they have those terrible thunderstorms, or terrible. They're great. I mean, we don't have any weather here in Los Angeles, so except, you know, beautiful, beautiful blue skies that, you know, never really go anywhere except into more blue skies. And, you know, it's like a Camus novel. I think I've talked about that before. It's like just white blue skies. But anyway, so I'm solo. We have some ads to read. There's a phone call I want to get to. And what do I want to discuss with you? Oh, yeah. I wanted to discuss, first of all, you know, all of you can watch this. Hopefully you're watching on the Facebook, on my Facebook fan page. And I wanted to kind of check out your response to a couple of things, because we're thinking of changing the format of the podcast a little bit to make it kind of a niche podcast. And I love the word niche because it sounds French, it sounds German, it doesn't sound American, you know, and a word like niche just makes me feel better about myself. You know what I mean? You know how one word can make you feel better about yourself? Like, let's say you're having a bad day. Let's say you're having a bad day because someone is making you dig your own grave at gunpoint because you were caught stealing money from the mob. And they're making you dig your own grave at gunpoint, and all of a sudden, the phrase, s'il vous plaît, which means please, I believe, in French, comes into your head. It can change your outlook. Yes, you're still going to be digging your grave. Yes, more likely than not, you will wind up dead in the desert. But s'il vous plaît, if it comes into your head, it's going to change the way you feel. Now, so what I wanted to say is that, so we're looking to become a little more of a niche podcast. And I was thinking of things like, you know, maybe we focus the podcast on therapy. I'm the bitter Buddha. I am very introspective. And we could maybe just talk about what's going on with your deepest fears, deepest worries. Let me look up. I just want to see exactly. Are you guys ready? One of the questions I want to pose is, are you guys ready for a format change? Are you ready for a format? People don't like change, you know? People don't like change. Like, some people don't like to get out of prison because they have to deal with freedom. You know what I mean? And we have the biggest prison population in America. America has the biggest prison population in the world. It's basically a crime to be poor in this country. There's one set of laws for the rich, and there's one set of laws for the poor. And because there's no employment, you know, or very shitty employment, you know, the solution is to put people in jail. And when people get out of jail, they're like, whoa, what am I going to do with this freedom? So I'm asking you, are you ready for a format change? Also, would you guys be willing to pay for more content, even if it was like $5 a month? And that would be like a Patreon type thing, if I can get that together, because it's a lot of work. And I would do behind the scenes stuff. You know what podcasters offer fans, you know, like I would show you behind the scenes stuff at the Comedy Store or the Improv, wherever I'm performing, or extended interviews with people that you wouldn't get on the regular podcast, you know, like that. Yeah, right. And I think I talked about this. What about if we move the focus of the podcast to therapy in a funny way? Are you guys interested in knowing more about my process? You know, are you interested in like finding out about that? You know, like I talk about that a lot on the air too, but it would be, you know, maybe. So those are the questions I kind of want to pose to everybody. Are you ready for a format change? Would you be willing to pay for more content if it were me giving you behind the scenes stuff or just showing you, you know, extended interviews, things like that. Would it be cool to move the podcast focus to therapy? Those are the kind of three major questions, I think. So let's see what's been going on. John McCain died. That's a big issue. It's so funny to watch Donald Trump not respond. I saw these reporters coming. And by the way, I think it's all theater. You know, the big question, the big issues are not whether or not John McCain died. He was no Martin Luther King. By the way, there's a great documentary on HBO about Martin Luther King. Is awesome. By the way, I'm saying I hear myself going sorry about that. I think that has to do with being alone in the podcast, being alone in the world, and we all are alone in the world. Even if you're with someone else, there is you're alone. You're alone, and I'm certainly alone in the studio right now. Yes, so it's all theater, you know, McCain, Trump, and Trump, you know, his function for the elites, his function for his fellow billionaires and Wall Street and, you know, oil companies and big pharma, his function is to be the clown. You know, is to entertain. Like, it's a big reality show. You should read the book Fahrenheit 451, which is about when, you know, the society is turned into just watching reality TV, quote unquote reality, like just real car chases. You ever watch a real car chase? Like I was watching the local news, like, I don't know, about 2 weeks ago, the local news. And why do I watch the local news? I don't know. Once in a while I do. By the way, I was going to do a media blackout, like not watch the news at all. And I have been doing that a lot. But then part of me wants to see this shit show. And I think I'm addicted, and a large part of the population is addicted to this gossipy, like looking at a car accident type of world. You know what I mean? And Trump is a one big accident. And to get back to McCain, these reporters were shouting, "Sir, how come you haven't released a statement about McCain? Or what do you think about John McCain's passing?" And he just sat there with that face, with that Trumpian face, just not answering the question. And it was quite funny to me. It's just a shit show. It really is a shit show. I have said before that I think it would be very funny if Donald Trump, like I would respect him more if he would cut his lips like the Joker and have blood smeared on his face and just kind of, you know, he just kind of greeted people like, "Hello." Like Trump is the Joker would make sense to me. Let's see if you guys – now I'm going to go to the fan page and see if anybody has anybody commented on today's show. Let's see on what I was talking about. Oh, there's been a bunch of comments already. Yeah, Timmy. He's going to – oh, okay. Nothing yet about what I was talking about. So that's quite all right. So what else is going on with me with me. I wanted to do the podcast alone. We were trying to get, I guess I've been doing this string of female comedians, and I am going to do more. I think next week we have Eleanor Kerrigan, who's a very funny comedian, and that should work out really good. And this week I just wanted to see, you know, because I've done the podcast a lot alone, where I, you know, sit in my car. I'm trying to recreate that now, you know, sit in my car and I kind of just talk about what I've been going through. And it's usually kind of the same things. Don't we always go through the same things all the time? And this would kind of be the bent, you know, this would how the podcast would lean if it was a change of format to therapy, you know, because to me, what's important in life isn't guessing movie trivia. It's your struggle. It's your struggle with being real. It's your struggle with being honest. It's your struggle with living a life that is true, or living truthfully, living, you know, doing what you want without hurting other people. Doing what you want without compromising yourself constantly. And I know a lot of life is a compromise and it's very messy, but, like, you know, really going after what you want in this crazy, fucked up world. And I've had problems doing that, you know. I mean, I do it like I've always just done comedy, and that's always what I wanted to do. But, like, as you progress in your field, you know, you come against bigger and bigger, you come against bigger blocks. You know what I mean? Like, in other words, like you start to achieve, but then you come face to face with, like, for instance, I want to write a television show for myself, and it's very difficult. And I think it's all the cliche, blocks, like, oh, you know, I don't believe I deserve it. I'd rather not try. So by not trying, I can't fail. Like, in other words, being afraid to fail. And Winston Churchill, I saw Darkest Hour. Did anybody see Darkest Hour? Gary Oldman won the Oscar for that. I hate the Oscars too, by the way. And, like, but he really did transform himself. It was a pretty amazing performance. But Churchill said, life is going from failure to failure gracefully. But I still have problems, like, sitting down, you know, and I wonder if, you know, you guys have this problem too, like, just sitting down and acting in my own self-interest, like sitting down and feeling like, okay, everything is taken care of, and now I can devote this time to myself. I don't know what all this guilt is, you know. Does anybody else have this all-pervading guilt that they have to, like, constantly battle? And I think this is a good time, by the way, for our first ad. Again, our first ad is these ads, they're all real, as you know, and they're written by Matt Rossamoto. Matt is the producer and the writer of these ads, and they're all real. And here's our first one, and it's from AmeriSuites. AmeriSuites. And think about what I was talking about before I read this first ad, about how, you know, we can't, it seems really hard to just realize ourselves. And I don't want to, you know, I'm not talking in a Tony Robbins way. I'm you know, I'm not talking about for money or fame, even though those could be byproducts of it, but just, you know, really feeling like you own yourself and you're not ashamed of yourself and you own yourself and you work towards something, like you really work towards something worthwhile, and you don't get bogged down by this tremendous guilt. And guilt, I really think, leads to depression. And everybody, you know, so many people suffer from depression. I suffer from depression, and I think it's because of this guilt that I have. But AmeriSweets is our sponsor. So let's, I could talk about my depression and guilt all day, right? But, let's go to AmeriSweets. Since 1991, AmeriSuites Hotels have been America's number one hotel chain for abandoning dead bodies. I know what you're thinking. Eddie, my family has been burying teenage sex workers on federal land since Eisenhower. And now here you come, you New York liberals, upsetting my apple cart. Firstly, as a vegan, I love apple carts. Secondly, our national forests are full up of the discarded remains of teenage sex workers, and half the time the graves are rushed, sloppy, and overall amateurish. Do what the pros do. Take your mangled bodies to AmeriSuite Hotels. With separate sleeping areas and a family-sized suite, you have plenty of room to stack the deceased like a Jenga tower and still get in a good night's sleep. With AmeriSuite's express checkout, you can leave the keys and the corpses safe inside the room. Before you go, make sure to check out their world-famous free Bountiful Breakfast Buffet, full of family favorites sure to please the alpha predator in all of us. Don't downsize, AmeriSize. Okay, that's AmeriSuites, and I think it's a self-explanatory commercial, and so please, if you're discarding of dead bodies, by all means, don't do it in a rush, sloppy way. Do it at AmeriSuites. So let's get back to, that's written by Matt Rasamoto. I had nothing to do with that. But I am talking to you about the pursuit of just being able, and I'm going to go to the fan page again and see if there's any comments that you guys might have about what I'm talking about. Let's see. We have 15 comments. Okay, someone will take issue. I do have problems with the sitting down. When did you have a mirror? No, we're really not getting very good. We're not getting direct comments to what I'm talking about. Anyway, also, this is going to be released tomorrow on SoundCloud, and you guys can call me, by the way. We have the telephone number here you guys can leave messages at, and the phone number, if you want to leave a message about the show, and you could leave a message about what I've been proposing today, it's or just anything about the show, it's 424-262-0904. That number again, 424-262-0904. You could leave us a message. We had one message this week. And I will read it after Steve Lolly hopefully calls in. Steve may call in at 5 o'clock. I think he's calling right now. Oh, he's calling in right now. I think we have Steve calling in. Oh, this will be great. Hey, is this Steve Lolly?
Eddie.
Steve?
Eddie.
Steve.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I'm going to take you off speakerphone. It might be a little better. Man.
Hey, you're on the air.
Oh, shit. Hey, shit. Wow.
Yeah, say hello to everybody. I'm just in the studio.
Hey.
Yeah, say hello.
Hey, all you 5,000 people, how are you all doing?
Is that our numbers? Is it 5,000?
Yeah, it's like we lurk around 5,000.
I think lurk is a good word. now here, first of all, were you listening to the podcast before you called in?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that's why we lurk around such low numbers, I think. But anyway, how are now, Steve Lally? How are you? You're on the road. I'm in the studio alone, by the way, and I'm just talking about my inner struggle. You know, about just that struggle, Steve, about work, like working toward your goals and not having guilt or shame about it, and just kind of putting your head down and just doing it. Without any, you know, feeling like you're hurting other people, just really doing your own thing and kind of living your truth. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Well, I mean, I do. I was thinking about it today. I was thinking about, you know, I could tell you about what's going on with my comedy tour, and it would make you feel so much better about your own work.
No. That's what I'm not talking. No, I'm not talking about something like that. Like, that's kind of, you know, me being an asshole. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it is kind of funny. It is funny. It makes me feel better. Not better. It doesn't make me feel better, but it gives me perspective when I see comics who are stuck here, you know, and I'm like, well, fuck, you know, at least I'm not stuck. I could be stuck. There's people who live here where I'm at.
Where are you? Tell people where you are.
I'm in Florida. I'm right now in Orlando, Florida. Tomorrow I'll be driving to Gainesville, Florida. Mm. Yeah. And I think this is where the Florida Project was filmed.
Oh, dude. So I love that movie. If anybody hasn't seen it, you know, I give a lot of recommendations out. Florida Project is an amazing movie. It is quite disturbing, though, and really a hardcore look at American poverty. Would you say that's a fair assessment? Did you see it, Steve?
Yeah, like, this is what I would say. Mm-hmm. Great movie. You wouldn't want to live that movie.
You know what I mean?
There's people who are living that movie.
Yeah, no shit. You know? No shit. And that's the America that we never fucking see. On CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, you know, all the major networks. That is the America that is
right.
Pushed aside and not talked about. Am I right?
Right. One giant fucking strip mall.
One giant,
you know, like one giant shopping mall that's like only three stores are actively occupied. Most of the places are out of business. You know, and no one's renting them. And I mean, it's like one thing where I'm at right now, I haven't been in 17 years.
Orlando?
Yeah. I went to college in Orlando, which I don't talk about a whole lot because it's kind of stupid that I went there. But I went to college there. And so I'm here and I'm like looking around and I'm like, wow, I'm kind of impressed with it because it's much more diverse. Like the people there's a lot more black people than there were when I was here, you know,
right.
And it kind of had me scratching my head, you know, like, why is it more diverse? And it's taken me like a week to kind of figure it out. But this is my assessment.
Yeah.
It's because the white people are poorer. It's because the white people have less money. That's why it's more diverse.
Right. That's what's happened
to America.
They've had to move into more low-income areas. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean...
Well, what were you saying? Did I get it right?
There's more black people because white people... I don't know if the rich white people moved out or the white people just are poorer. But
well, we know that to be the case, that people are getting poorer. White people,
right.
For sure, you know, like on the middle class disappearing into lower, you know, into lower classes because wages are stagnant. That's something that's never talked about either. All you hear about from the fucking talking heads on the televisions is how or the internet too, is how, oh, the economy is booming. No, it's not. No, it is not. People have given up looking for work. People are working menial jobs that are killing them. You know what I mean? And
right, I think people are pretending not to be poor. I think that's kind of what's going on in America. Everybody's trying to create the illusion that they're not, you know, the people who have the house are hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt.
That's true, you know? Right? It's unbelievable.
Right, right.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just reading Chris Hedges again, and there's an economist named Richard Wolff that people should look up. First of all, see The Florida Project, the movie, for an unflinching – that's what reviewers say, right, critics? It's an unflinching look.
No holds barred.
It's an unflinching look at poverty in America, and and then check out this economist, Richard Wolff, that Chris Hedges interviews in his weekly Truth Dig column. And I think Wolff was the one who said, we are at the point in America now that similar to the French Revolution. Like, the monarchs in the French Revolution just took away everything from people. They were serfs, and there people in this country now are essentially serfs. Like, a large number of people are essentially serfs. And you're right about people pretending to be to have money, you know. And I would say even that they believe what they're pretending. Like, people are in this fantasy world. I mean, literally in this fantasy world that they're doing fine. Because when reality is really, really scary, people go into fantasy.
Yeah. Well, right? We all do. I mean, we all do that, right?
That's true. Except me and you, and that's why we have this podcast. I'm kidding. But anyway, tell us now. Make me feel better about my life. Now you're what? Okay. But I do want to know how
four progressive Democratic candidates just won their primaries down here, which it's really not a major thing, but it could be a black progressive governor.
Yes.
Just with no money, just defeated a Democratic corporatist who had a bunch of money. And all the guy had was Bernie Sanders' endorsement. And so there,
that was great. I read about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not like, is it enough? Is it happening fast enough? Probably not. But it gives me some hope, because right, this is a very red. I would describe the people here that I run into as very apolitical. Nobody really wants to talk about politics. Like you said, people want to be in their fantasy and in their world. And I do it too with baseball, because all I've been doing is eating and watching baseball. I don't have any fucking thing else to do down here, you know. And
are you with family?
So I'm not.
Are you with family down there?
No, I will be tomorrow. I have my sisters in Gainesville, so I have some gigs, and I'm going to get to see them tomorrow.
Right.
So tomorrow I will be, yeah.
Yes, I understand that, like eating and watching baseball. Well, one of the things is we want to be comforted. We want to have a comfortable life. We want to have a pleasurable life. But I always feel like with me and I think this is endemic to a lot of Americans, maybe even globally. But it's kind of infantile, and I always have been like this, and it's kind of one of the reasons I'm a comedian, because it's quote unquote fun to do comedy, but it's kind of infantile to always want to be in a state of pleasure. But I'm like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, you know, I think that I was thinking about this with the comedy aspect, and one of the reasons that you and I think we connect mm-hmm. and became friends even is because there's a lot of comedians who don't do what we do. And I'm not as good as you at this, but you know, my social outlook on the world makes it into my work. You know what I mean? Like, if your social outlook on the world makes it into your work, it's not, your whole act, but it makes it in there because you can't ignore the things you see. And mm-hmm. so that's kind of cool, because that's sort of like an engine that, you know, you're not just a sheep. You're not going around just doing relationship jokes for a bunch of,
well,
you know, like.
Yeah, you're right. But you know what? Like, when I'm in the clubs, just like you said, people don't want to really hear about that. The other night, I was in front of this good crowd, and I started talking about, you know, the disintegration, the way I put it. You know, picture Friday night out for people, and I'm going, you know, people are like trying to enjoy their Friday or Saturday, and I'm going, have you heard, folks, that scientists are now predicting that by 2100, the human race will be extinct due to climate breakdown and due to global warming. And they're just looking at me like, what the fuck are you bringing this up for? You know what I mean? And like, I was thinking about comedy club, like there's funny stuff about that, about the human race being extinct by the year 2100. And the funny stuff about that is, first of all, everybody's ignoring it and pretending it's not going on. Everybody is watching Peaky Blinders or The Staircase or Wormwood on Netflix, and or baseball, and the civilization is crumbling. You know, Margaret, I heard, you know, it's like someone saying, Margaret, I heard that, the next few summers are going to be so hot that we may burn alive. So can we order in tonight? I'd like an eggplant Parmesan. Make it extra cheese. Who gives a fuck at this point? You know what I mean? Like,
a lot of people are vegan down here, by the way.
No way. I love that.
Yeah, dude. And I found a health food store that has vegan food. Dude, I couldn't even believe it.
Wow.
I mean, remember we were writing episodes making jokes about this, you know? And I couldn't believe I found, so people are kind of like, they can't digest the animal food. This is my theory. It's totally hypothesis, because I hadn't done any kind of study, but I meet people and they're like, I can't eat cheese anymore. I can't eat meat anymore. It's not because they're
ethically
caring for animals.
They're
they
not
can't
ethically,
eat the fucking food is not consumable to the human body. It's toxic.
Well, I think people, well, to me, any reason for veganism is a great thing. You know, I mean, it would be nice if it was ethically oriented, because I meet a lot of people who say, oh, I tried being vegan for a month, but I couldn't because I'm anemic, you know, and they're not taking the right supplements. And, you know, for a lot of people, it's just going back to what they like, you know, which is, you know, all that stuff that they like, because it's hard. It's hard to transition to a vegan diet. But you know, it's gotten better and better. And what you're talking about, there's vegan stuff down there. I think that's happening all over. And that is a nice thing. And it's a good thing, too, that, you know, some progressives are, you know, beating out the centrists. Right. But I feel like, you know, like Hedges just calls for out and out rebellion.
Civil disobedience.
Well, yeah. And just, you know, but I don't know how that's going to happen. And he says, too, you know, he always quotes Ted Berrigan, who was, you know, Ted Berrigan, Father Ted Berrigan. You know, there were a couple of Berrigans who were super duper activists. They actually went into nuclear power plants to dismantle nuclear weapons, like that kind of activism.
Right.
And
like Martin Sheen, I think, was doing that too for a while.
Well, Marty Sheen. No, I'm kidding. Martin Sheen.
I don't know. I just heard that. I'm just saying it's just hearsay, but.
That's funny. It'd be funny if it was just a bunch of. Yeah, not only Ted Berrigan, you just named sitcom actors, but John Ritter, before he died, was doing
that. Right, yeah, yeah.
And Pam.
They got rid of him. They got rid of him because he was fucking climbing over fences to get into nuclear power plants.
Yeah, right. But he quotes Berrigan as saying, hey, if elections worked, they wouldn't be legal, meaning that the power elites just fucking, you know, the elections are this big fucking, again, a big piece of theater.
Right.
You know, that, you know, keeps everybody going, oh, we live in a democracy. You know what I mean?
Well, how does disinformation work? Because that's what we're kind of living in a time of of disinformation through the media and the internet. And I mean, I don't know everything that's going on, but it seems to me that there's a massive left. There's a massive, massively quiet group of people who don't trust authority.
Well, yeah,
who aren't.
People are pissed now.
In the middle of the country, dude. I'm not talking about
that's
on the coast,
good. Yeah,
know?
Of course. You know, Trump, by the way, was a fuck you vote from a lot of people. You know what I mean?
Right.
They were just like,
right,
fuck you to the system. But they fucked
right
themselves, too, because he is, you know, such a piece of shit who
well, you know, maybe those people need to watch Trump drain the swamp into their fucking living room.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like, right, maybe that's part of the whole, you
right
know, like I mean, I always bring it back to I believe in God. I don't know what the whole purpose of it is, mm-hmm, but God, I despise Trump, dude. I really do.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was good he was elected, and I think it would be good if he was impeached, but I don't know. Maybe, fuck, you know, I just didn't want Hillary Clinton to win because she fucked me in the ass, you know, and never thought Donald Trump could win, you know.
Yeah, I don't know if it was good for him to win, but
no, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know. You know he's I mean just, I mean, but what he represents, like, it, I don't know. We've talked about this a lot. So, he just didn't pop out of nowhere. He is the progression of a failed
yes
system, which people don't want to talk about, you know, because they, you know, they're like, oh, no, Hillary would have been, no, the Democrats failed us as well because, you know, corporate money, billionaire money has taken over our electoral system, which is why it is
right
encouraging that someone, you know, a black candidate wins in South Florida with no money, you know. And
he won the state of Florida, not just South Florida's like L.A., but he won the primary statewide. You know, again, I don't know how many people actually vote in that out here, but I don't know, dude. Fuck, man.
Well, tell me about your tour a little bit. Tell me about your tour.
Yeah. I'm embarrassed to tell
why
you about the venues.
Why?
I don't even.
it's the
this
nitty.
Is so bad. The show I did last night was mm-hmm so fucking bad that there was no host, first of all.
Well,
the
they
DJ,
do that. Yeah, go ahead.
The DJ, like, I guess found out halfway through the show he was supposed to be hosting. And the
by the way,
act,
the DJ hosting yes is what happens in strip clubs. But go ahead.
So we're back to fucking Lenny Bruce. Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting to go on, and the people aren't there for the comedy, and they're doing their, you know, the people aren't there for the comedy, and the opening act goes on, and just when it can't get any worse, there's no light on the face of the comic. They didn't rig the light, so it's totally dark. So you're looking at a dark figure telling you jokes. And I'm just thinking to myself, dude, I'm going on, and it's great. Like, there's really great things about it. I get to do more time. I get to sell my DVDs. I make a couple hundred extra bucks, you know, but I'm just doing crowd work and trying to get through it. You know what I mean?
Like, they're not big, like, you can't do material in front of them?
Well, it's, you know, it's hit and miss. Sometimes I can, and I did a little last night, but I'm just kind of like, my whole attitude is like, I just want to get this over with. I'm not like, you know what I mean? And I'm sure there will be shows that aren't like that. Actually, I should have sent you the promo. I sent Matt a poster for one of the shows. And I'll send it to you, and you can, if you want, you can even show it to people
on
the podcast.
I will. Yeah.
It's so fucking hilarious. I mean, one show I'm headlining is a black show, and I booked that because I've never headlined a black show on the East Coast.
Oh, okay.
And it's not going to pay me that much, but it's good for, you know, it's good for promo, and I can book more of those if I can show I've done one.
Right.
But, I'm just getting through it, and you know, I haven't been laid since the accident, and
still,
you know,
still no progress.
Still, one woman came on to me. I could have slept with a woman after a show,
right,
but
yeah,
I knew that sleeping with that woman would not improve my situation. You know what I mean? If you know what I mean.
I think I know what you mean.
So that's kind of, and it's so fucking humid down here that I'm just indoors all day.
Yeah. Is it
motel
really
has
up?
A
yeah.
Oh, dude. The motel has like an elliptical machine, thank God, that I can, the motels that I've been in have a little workout area, but right. It's just, you know, well, fuck, man. Listen, this isn't even so bad. A week from now, mm-hmm. my brain will have gone into atrophy.
Why?
Total. Because just being down here, not knowing a lot of people, not having a lot of people to talk to, you know.
Are the shows going to get better, maybe?
Oh, God, they couldn't get worse. You know what? I shouldn't say that.
Yeah, right.
Hopefully they'll get better. You know, I'm doing okay. I'm doing, you know, longer time. And I did a whole bit about American culture at one show. I did a whole thing about American culture being like a rooms to go. Like American culture is just a fucking, just a giant furniture store. And people dug it. People were into it. So
that's cool.
Maybe there's some hope. I hope I'm not boring you with this fucking shit, man.
No, not at all. I think people should, you know, it's interesting for people to hear about what it's like, you know, in the nitty gritty, you know, performing in places, you know, just to kind of like, I don't know, like you're trying to fucking make some money on a tour, you know, and it's difficult.
Did you ever do a tour in rooms like this?
Rooms like what?
Like these fucking middle America, like the Pegasus Lounge and the places that you wouldn't, no one has even heard of, the place that you'd be embarrassed to promote on social media.
Well, I'm a bit of a coward, you know. I come across as a very, you know, oh, I've got so much bravado, but I don't want to perform in places that people aren't on the same page. You know what I mean? I don't want to fucking perform for people who, like, you know, are not fucking with it, man. You know what I mean? Like, I want to perform at clubs that are geared and designed for the comedian to succeed. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
I want to fucking have to slug it out. But, you know, I've been in shows like that. Yes, I have. I mean, I've wound up in shows like that. And it's a bloodbath. It's a bloodbath, you know, personally, like because so many demons, you know, stand-up comedians, as stand-ups, we deal with so many fucking demons. Are we good enough? Are we funny? They're not laughing. I suck. And they're heavy-duty demons. But we have an ad here. I'm going to read this ad. Can you stay on the line for a sec?
Yo, yeah.
It's Home Farmer. You know Home Farmer, right?
Oh, yeah. One of our best.
Okay, so we have been talking about the benefits of Home Farmer for a while. Our listeners know about Home Farmer's home delivery. Our listeners know about Home Farmer's home delivery program of greatly discounted, mislabeled, and expired medications from the black web. But did you know that now you can get Home Farmer delivered to your work? Some businesses poo-pooed the idea of receiving damp and badly damaged boxes from Iran delivered to their offices. Home Farmer wants you to know they heard your voice, and you can select office delivery at checkout, and they will deliver the same great quality products in boxes labeled with the words "not drugs." This new design will surely dissuade the curiosity of your average nosy Nancy and confound the standard prying Pete. Be the belle of the office ball as you hide under your desk, shoveling fistfuls of horse medicine into your face between meetings. Subscribe to Home Farmer for the office today and scream your way through the next budget meeting in style. Well, Home Farmer, that's great.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we have... We have one more to go with Writer's Duet that I'm going to read. But, man. Well, I hope you make money down there. Did you drive down there or did you fly?
I flew and I've got a car.
You're renting?
So that's, yeah. Well, I do in between the gigs where the, like, I'll have a comic opening up for me who will drive to the gig. So I do a little bit of that. So I cut down on my costs by traveling with the feature.
Right.
For some of these things, but there's so many days. Yeah, I have to rent the car here and there. So I'm in a rental car now, and I'm going to drive to Gainesville, Florida tomorrow on this fucking
thing. I mean, you know, of course, this won't be a reality for you, until this trip is over for a while. But seriously, this kind of stuff does inform you of, like, you know, ideas for scripts, ideas for screenplays, like just this kind of world. Would you describe it as a fringe world? You know how we were talking about the Florida Project showing it's like people on the fringe? You know what I mean? Is this like the fringes of the comedy world? You know what I mean? You know what I think would be fucking funny Netflix special, dude? Tell me if you don't think this is a great, great idea. That it's a Netflix special of a guy, let's say you, right? And instead of the big splashy Netflix specials where the audience is going crazy and the lighting is great, it's just like a guy trying to perform in a hellhole, and that's the Netflix special. You know what I mean? And it's,
dude.
Yeah. What do you think of that?
It reminds me, what you're saying reminds me of that scene in Defending Your Life with Albert Brooks, where they die and they go to the fucking afterlife, and there's a comedy club called the Bomb Shelter.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that? And there's just this old vaudevillian comedian up with his fucking blazer on, telling these jokes that make me not want to be a comic. But, you know, like, yeah, that would be, well, Richard Pryor Live and Smoking. Have you seen that? That's kind of what that is. Richard Pryor Live and Smoking, 45 minutes of him bombing.
Are you serious?
New York Improv. Yeah. In 1970.
Oh, I gotta see that, because Pryor's my favorite, and I've seen him, you know, just at the pinnacle, you know. Let me read this writer duet, commercial.
Okay.
Now, Writer Duet is online writing software for screenplays and scripts, but getting a Writer Duet Pro subscription gives you more than just access to amazing writing software. It makes you categorically better than everyone else. Sure, you can write your movie script in final draft like an old man, fruitlessly pawing away at the keyboard night after night, feeling your bones turn to chalk as final draft's 10-year-old interface drains the life essence from your soul, or use Writer Duet to jump online and collaboratively work on a script with your friends, like a young punk full of piss and virile semen. Don't let people laugh at you when you're naked. Use Writer Duet. It's real script writing software for real men and their substantial and functioning penises. Take a firm grip of your writing with Writer Duet and use its collaborative features to cram your goodness down the wanting throats of your friends and coworkers. The link is in the description. Writer Duet, that is a real product that we're trying to get money out of. So please use Writer Duet. And I just wanted to remind people that I was bringing up the fact that we want to maybe do a format change to the podcast. I don't know if you've been part of this discussion, Steve, yet, but what about moving the focus of the podcast? Like, we're thinking of making it more of a niche podcast, like moving the focus of the podcast to like therapy, like you're Rabbi Steve and I'm the Bitter Buddha. You know what I mean? And we just talk about these internal struggles, like just focusing the podcast more. Are people ready for a format change? Would they be willing to pay for more content, even if it was like $5 a month? And we're talking about a Patreon thing here for fans, where we would give them extended interviews with guests or behind the scenes stuff with us or us at clubs, you know, videos. And are they interested in knowing more about our process, you know, what we do as comics and stuff like that? So I just want to throw that out there for people. And I'm glad you called in, Stephen. When are you coming back?
I'm September 23rd or 24th, I forget.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. You're gone.
Yeah.
You're gone for almost
gone
a whole
for
month.
Three more weeks, yeah.
Wow.
I have a week of down. I don't know. I'll be here. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'll be back. And dude, I'd love to do that. Try that one. Maybe we should try one out. like that.
Yeah, yeah. You know? And maybe we could really find our stride. And, you know, it would be funny, too. But what I like about it is that's kind of what I like to talk about is just, you know, the personal struggle, like confronting demons. And I battle my demons in a onesie. And it's funny stuff like that. I battled my demons in a onesie. It was a little...
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I didn't hear that.
Yeah. No, that's okay. That's what it's like performing in a club like the Bomb Shelter.
Yeah, dude. Maybe that's what our podcast should be.
What's that?
Maybe that's what it should be.
Yeah.
We should talk about this stuff because, you know, I think people misunderstand. They think the comics are going to come on and be funny like we were at the Comedy Store, you know, but...
Yeah.
That's not what it has to be. I mean, it should be just two guys kind of.
I mean, and make it interesting, you know. Really, I think the truth is interesting, you know, like the truth about our struggles, you know. I just think what is more interesting than, you know, like really being open about the, you know, your struggle with life, you know, because everybody, like, not only do people hide the fact that they're poor, but they hide the fact that they're poor in spirit. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Well, you cannot live on bread alone. It says it in the Bible, you know, man cannot live on bread alone. So yeah, people are suffering right. And we don't know it by looking at them. These people who look normal, but they're torn up inside. We're not getting enough love. You know, we're afraid financially. We're afraid to admit that shit's bad to people. I mean, that's definitely a demon. Just people afraid to admit that life's not good. You know.
Yeah, so. and it does have a lot to do with, I mean, connecting to the people close to you and what stops you from connecting to the people close to you. Why, you know, with me, I was talking before you called about why do I have so much fucking guilt all the time, you know? Even shame is the word, like shame toward working for myself. Like when I sit down at a desk and I just have this tremendous like inability to just work, you know, on my writing. You know what I mean? Because I don't know. I don't even know why. Do you have that?
I don't know that I have it like the way you're talking about it. Mm-hmm. Like I'm ashamed of other shit. You know, I have different shame that maybe we can talk about when I return, or maybe I can call in a couple of weeks or something.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
I don't know if I'm prepared to exactly share all that right now.
Yeah,
you know?
I hear you. All right. Well, but, listen, brother, hang in there. Look at this as, you know, like you're really, I mean, it's a struggle and it's a battle. And the more we come through these struggles and battles, I mean, it's true. It's like we just build character. You know, what doesn't kill us makes us stronger. I think there's a lot of truth to that. And, you know, and there are better things coming out of this. You know, and there's better things that are coming for you. You know what I mean?
You know what, dude? It's really not. I just think about these poor people who live down here. I live in L.A. and... I could be selling insurance somewhere, so life's not bad. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
Life's not too bad.
I think selling insurance would be, you know. Oh, I see. You're not selling insurance. Yeah.
Yes, I'm not selling insurance or telemarketing or, you know what
right.
I mean? Could be doing 100
right,
different.
Right. All right, brother.
I'm getting paid to do something I love. So.
All right.
All right, man.
We'll talk to you soon, okay?
See you, Eddie. Bye, everybody.
Ciao, Bella. All right, everybody. That was Steve Lawley. Calling in, and I've posed those questions. Are you ready for a change of format? Would you be willing to pay for more contact? What do you think about us moving the focus of the podcast to something like therapy struggle? All right. This was an interesting pep talks, I think. I want to thank our sponsor, Write a Duet, and all those other great sponsors, our producer, Matt Rasamoto and Emma here in this studio. And let's see, I'm going to be in Austin September 27th at the Altercation Comedy Festival. Altercation Comedy Festival, look that up, September 27th. I believe the show's at 10 p.m. Then I'm going to be in North Dakota the 19th and 20th at the at the, oh, God damn it. I was supposed to have this. Now, I'm going to fucking get this right now. I am, you know, I have to tell you where I'm going to be in North Dakota. Here we are. It is called, let's see. Oh, God. So sorry about this, guys. It's called the Front Street Tap Room in Fargo, North Dakota. The Front Street Tap Room in Fargo, North Dakota, October 19 and 20th. I'm going to be there. It seems like a great room. So anyway, thanks for listening to Pep Talks. Please like us on Facebook. Please, write us a review on iTunes. You know, lift our profile, everybody. Spread the word. And we will be back to see you next week.